Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, including iTunes and, like I said, YouTube. I always say subscribe. Gotta subscribe, Larson.
Yes, subscribe.
Because if you don't subscribe, you might miss out on great content.
Also, it helps the exposure of the show.
Yeah, it does, absolutely.
You get us up those charts, those iTunes charts.
Absolutely. We're also available at Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. If you want to contribute to the show financially, you'll get all sorts of, we have different reward tiers. You get to participate and observe our live streams.
Mm-hmm.
We have like postcards and stickers and other stuff.
Yeah, we're also on Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Seven designs, more to come very, 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 very soon.
Forgive my hoarse voice. I'm still battling allergy season. Hopefully by tomorrow, when we record tomorrow's batch of podcasts.
Yes.
It'll be a thing of the past.
I'm thinking of putting a cold water Larson shirt up on Pro Wrestling Tees. It's got three words on it. Not
gonna
happen.
Oh, I like it. Your face. Can you put your face on the back?
I thought about putting my face over the O and not.
Oh, I like that. Oh, let's do it, man. I'll collaborate with you on it.
I could do it myself.
Oh, come on. Let me collaborate. I know how to pick out good fonts. This is a great font right here on your punishment shirt.
I want to give it a shot myself.
I want to find
out. I did an okay job on Fun Wrestling. I feel good. I have a vision in my head.
Look, man.
I have a vision. Let me follow through on my vision.
All right. And then I'll give you advice. I'm going to throw some cold water on your cold water design.
You can't out cold water me.
Let's talk about that's definitely true. Let's talk about SmackDown.
Okay.
I was actually entertained.
I was too.
Throughout the show, I had no problems with it. This was one of those SmackDowns where you can tell SmackDown has an embarrassment of riches.
They really do, especially with Jericho, even though right now it seems like he's only going to be there. Well, he's probably not going to be there for a while, but there's every indication that he's going to be on SmackDown once he returns from his tour with Fozzy.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown is stacked.
Yeah. You know, let's talk about this for a second. Let's talk about the Jericho thing and the decision to have him win at Payback and then lose it at SmackDown. It seems like it was kind of a no-brainer, and yet, according to the betting odds sort of situation that we were observing after we recorded our predictions, you know, it's always interesting to see what the betting odds are versus what actually happened.
Yes.
So the betting odds took a pretty dramatic swing in his favor for Payback, kind of at the last minute.
Yeah, like on Saturday.
Yeah.
Early Sunday.
So it would appear that before then, they had planned on having him drop the title at Payback. Doing it the way they did it seems like kind of a no-brainer, though. I wonder, why do you think they would have had him losing at Payback and then not taking advantage of, wow, a great rematch main event for SmackDown? Why do you think that would have been? I wonder what the original plan would have been.
Well, I don't know if the betting odds reflected, initially at least, any sort of inside information. I think that was just kind of a popular opinion, was that Owens was going to retain at Payback. Essentially, what happened on SmackDown last night would have happened on Payback.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's what a lot of people probably thought. I mean, in that respect, and I think the odds only changed probably because there was some inside info that got leaked out.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, neither of us have any idea.
No, this is all speculation on my part. But
what going into betting odds is how much of it is based on, you know, common sense, popular opinion, versus like, are all the results based on inside information? Are, you know, is it by and large? I would find it hard to believe that the betting odds would be sort of pick and choose.
Oh, I know. But I mean, it seems weird for the odds to swing so drastically right at the last minute, basically.
No, it doesn't seem odd because Vince's behavior isn't odd. That's just Vince.
No, I know. No, no. I mean, I'm not saying the changes. I'm saying the Betty gods reflecting what it actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the popular consensus for weeks in advance is that Owens is going to retain at Payback, and then suddenly, I mean, I know how betting gods work, and it's determined by money.
Mm-hmm.
But to swing that huge, that late in
well,
the
that's
game,
that's a leak.
Yes, that's
it's
what I'm
definitely
saying.
Like
that's
no.
What I'm saying.
Well, but what I'm saying is, if because they swing based on leaks, that's pretty much a guarantee. That has to be the case. I would think that from the starting gate, there's somebody like this betting odds thing is absolutely bizarre. That info like this would like before every pay per view would leak out in that manner. Like that's absolutely bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are we the only ones like thinking this?
That, I don't know.
That I mean, look, there's money on the line here.
I know.
And I granted, you have to put down whatever $5,000 to make a buck with pro wrestling show. I mean, that
well, I mean,
think
for the huge favorites, though,
for
yeah.
the huge favors, yeah. But still, like when there's money on the line and there's betting, I don't know. I would think that there's something that's going on there. Anyways, it is interesting that they did it this way. I think it seemed like it would have been a no brainer. Have Owens, you know, have Jericho. You know, give us like two pay-per-view quality matches and put one of them on SmackDown.
As a huge main event, yeah.
As a huge main event, that's what happened. It was great. It was a fantastic main event.
Yeah, it was.
Let's start from the beginning. The beginning was amazing.
Yeah, they had a cold open with Jinder Mahal doing essentially a championship belt photo shoot.
That's exactly what he was doing. It was fantastic. He was like yelling at the cameraman, making sure that he got it right.
Yes.
Shane McMahon saunters up to him. And says, around here,
championships are earned.
Championships are earned, Jinder Mahal. And Jinder Mahal basically cut a promo on Shane McMahon saying, you know, backlash, this is going to be mine. So, you know, I'm just doing my due diligence.
Yeah.
I'm being ambitious.
Yes.
I'm taking the initiative, Shane
yes.
McMahon. But he said it in much meaner words.
But ultimately, he handed the belt back to Shane.
Yeah. You know, he knew that he got away with a fast one.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways... Shane comes out, drops promo, and announces
Chris Jericho to SmackDown Live.
Y2J. So Y2J comes down, and he talks about being U.S. champion on SmackDown. What did he say? Smack it down, man. This is the show of Jericho. Smack it down, man.
Yeah.
Then AJ Styles comes out. He says, I want a chunk of that U.S. title.
Well, he brought up his and Y2J's.
WrestleMania, yeah. Y2AJ.
Yes, history. And says, don't think I still don't owe you one.
Right, right, right.
And he wanted a piece of, he said he'd be perfectly happy if Jericho was still U.S. champion come Backlash because he'd be more than happy to beat him.
But he said that is no certainty. That is not a guarantee
yes.
right there. Kevin Owens comes out. He's upset.
I gotta, there's a reason why Kevin Owens is one of the best in the business. I know they made Jericho working over Owens' hands at Payback. You know, especially towards the end of the match, a major part of the story being told.
Sure.
A lot of wrestlers would have forgot about it 2 days later. Owens comes out with his hand completely taped up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one reason why Kevin Owens is one of the best in the
yeah.
business.
And another reason he comes out, and here's the difference between the United States Championship on SmackDown and the Intercontinental Championship on Raw, because Owens comes out and he's the one guy who is fiending for that belt. He's the guy who, man, that's my property. I lost it. Like, dude, it could be a belt, a dress belt you get at Sears.
Yeah.
And if it's Kevin Owens' possession, that's going to be the top belt on whatever show
yeah.
there is.
Yeah, and contrast that with how they treated the Intercontinental title on Raw. I mean, the main event for the number one contendership was great.
That was fantastic.
But the promo before, it was essentially everybody's in that ring to say, I want the Universal title. Dean says, it's not on TV every week. Here's your consolation.
Yeah. That's what the point of his thing was. It's not on TV. We can't sit around waiting for Brock. So we have this title. On SmackDown, they don't even talk about the world title. They talk about the U.S. title as if it's the thing.
Yep.
You know? And then the world title's in its own weird little sphere.
Yeah.
That's how you elevate a belt.
Yep.
Not by saying, well, this one's here.
This one is going to have to do for now.
Might as well fight for it because
yep.
this one's going to have to do for now. Exactly. But anyways, Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, they end up brawling
yeah.
towards the end of that promo. And that set up AJ Styles being banned from ringside for the main event, which
Correct.
Is the rematch. Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho.
Correct.
The United States title. Shane McMahon earlier, when he was doing the Jinder photo shoot, mentioned that Jinder was going to be in action tonight against Sami Zayn. So we got that match at that point.
Yeah, good match.
Yeah, it was a really good match. I love the Singh Bros. The Singh brothers are great because, like, one guy was wearing the swaggery guy was wearing a red shirt with the button all the way, like, way down.
Yeah.
And your assessment, like, 2 weeks ago or a week ago was exactly right. That guy is fully all in.
Well, he seems more comfortable in his role.
Yeah, exactly. The other guy, he was wearing a pink shirt, which is kind of goofy in the first place.
But it was buttoned all the
way
up.
But it was like buttoned all the way up. And yeah, he just totally does not look like he can convincingly be a bad guy.
But they're still great.
They're still awesome. They're amazing. They're like tiny, so they like make Jinder look like a massive, giant human being, which he already is.
Yeah.
Anyways, I mean, it was a decent enough match. I mean, here's the thing about Jinder Mahal. His ring work isn't great. He's so tall and like lanky, it just makes for awkward looking performances.
Yeah, there is one one spot when Sami Zayn, you know, grabs his opponent's hand, slaps him on the chest and does the DDT.
Yeah.
That was a little messy.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, Jinder works stiff. He works physical.
He works physical, which is fine. It's just it's obvious whenever it's blatantly obvious whenever Sami Zayn is forced to dial it back. Like, he cannot go full speed with a guy like Jinder Mahal. Well, he can't. Like, he's not doing... It's like you're watching Sami Zayn, not in slow motion, but, like, at 80% motion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the match was what it was. Jinder is all... You know, I'm not going to say he's all promos and passion and stuff like that, which is fine, which is totally fine for what they're doing with him. You know, but you're not going to get a 5-star match out of the guy. Jinder was able, Sami Zayn was going to launch either a suicide dive or like a springboard thing outside the ring. And as he was lining up to do it, the Singh brothers were taking chunks out of his running ability.
Yeah.
He was about to run and one guy held his leg.
Yeah.
And then Jinder gets in and throws him down for his finisher and gets the win.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
There's a segment next backstage between Becky Lynch and the new faction that they're just calling the Welcoming Committee.
That's a terrible name. Like, they already come off like housewives.
And, yeah.
Welcoming Committee, that's like, you know, welcome to the neighborhood.
Here's your fruit basket.
Here's your fruit, exactly. Like, I've made jokes before about, I think, Natalia coming off like a Kmart shopper, let me talk to your manager. Tamina has kind of always seemed like, I don't know, like get off my lawn single mom, you know, that everybody's afraid of. But she knows how to discipline very well. Carmella, I don't know. I don't even know. Like James Ellsworth, I don't know. I like that they keep on referring to Ellsworth as a lady, though. As a woman, that's pretty funny. That makes me laugh. Because Becky did that. She said, well, look at these four ladies here.
Anyway, but in this segment, Natalia made her pitch to Becky to join them.
Yeah,
you know, laying out how they've all battled over the last few months, and Charlotte comes in and instantly gets a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of which, Becky says,
"Let me think about that.
I haven't thought about it that way."
Yeah, let me think about it.
Let me think about it.
Yeah,
and so it goes. It fades to black. Goes to commercial while she's pondering.
I mean, that makes it seem like it's less. There's less of a chance of her going heel at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I would love to see it. Maybe it's me sort of wishful thinking. I would love to see a Becky Lynch heel turn. I think it'd be fantastic because, I mean, you know, you already have, you have your alpha dog, you have Charlotte. She's going to be a face. Everybody else is, you know, below her.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no crystal clear lead heel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Becky Lynch is a strong performer. Like, turn her heel.
Yeah.
Maybe they think that the crowd isn't going to buy it.
And that is a really distinct possibility.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd buy it.
No,
she's always so enthusiastic.
Even when they teased it last night, I was like, this doesn't feel right. Maybe it was just the timing. But I was like, if this is what they're going to do, this feels lame.
But, man, Becky's sort of like, I don't know. Like, I think they're going to do, I don't know, man. Because you've got Naomi sitting there as the champion, kind of the de facto lead face. Now you've got Charlotte, who's essentially a face too, and she's like top dog. There seems to be no other route for Becky Lynch except to go heel.
It's a possibility. Maybe what they did last night was a swerve to the eventual real swerve.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was kind of thinking, but now
I'm
like...
I think that's just overthinking.
That's overthinking things? Really yeah, is. I know. Yeah.
So we come back from commercial with the Shinsuke Nakamura video package, and then it cuts to Dolph apparently watching it backstage.
Yeah.
And it was great because he was backstage hanging out with... some Northern California wrestlers, including one that we've seen a couple times here in Sacramento, J.R. Kratos.
It's a great scene.
Sitting backstage. It was
lurking
awesome.
Back there.
Was sitting backstage.
Looking very dapper
yes.
with a vest, red shirt combo.
Yeah.
It was great to see J.R. Kratos. Yeah, absolutely.
And then Shane McMahon comes into frame. Dolph was talking about how...
He was saying this guy.
Oh,
look
yeah.
at this guy, and it was just more Dolph crap. I don't know. Whoever's writing that stuff really needs to.
It's all setting up their match at
Backlash.
Not
great. It's not great. But anyway, Shane McMahon comes over because like Dolph is running him down, and Shane does the thing where he like silently goes up behind a guy, and everybody's like, "Ooh, there's the boss. Why
yeah.
are you talking crap?"
Yeah.
Dolph doesn't really care. He says, "I'm the man. Watch what I'm about to do to Sin Cara."
Yeah.
And then that leads to then we get. Aiden English, here's the problem with Aiden English. He called Ty Dillinger during their match. He said, you can't get over on the artist. You're not the artist anymore, Aiden English.
Oh, that's true.
You cannot call yourself the artist. Mm-mm. There is a new artist in town.
That's true.
And his name is Shinsuke Nakamura. I really can't stand that name. I think it's great for Aiden English. Aiden English is a great singer. I don't know how I feel about him, though. I'm kind of on his side. I kind of love him.
You know, here's the thing.
But then I kind of think he's so...
Here's the thing.
He's so gross.
There's being a jobber.
Yeah.
But there's being a jobber with kind of a storyline.
Yeah,
at least
I know.
He's getting that. He's getting something to do
no,
on a semi-regular
I know.
Basis
no,
on TV.
I know. I agree. He's like the Curt Hawkins of SmackDown now because he comes out, he does
yeah,
a thing, and he gets
role.
Beat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I find his gimmick slightly more interesting.
I'm not going to say I find it more interesting. Well, I will because it's an actual thing that he does, and
yes.
it's an actual talent he has.
Yes,
but I don't know. He's hilarious. Like he's kind of inching towards my going in Raw Wrestler of the Year.
He is a contender.
He's getting up there because he's fit. He's
mm-hmm,
fit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so pale.
Mm-hmm.
This week I didn't notice this last week. It's probably been the same way. But his chest hair is bizarre because it cuts off literally right here.
Yeah.
Nothing going on.
I think it's
here.
Always been that way.
It has okay. Didn't know that. Did I mention how pale he is?
Mm-hmm.
He's balding, which is
mm-hmm.
great. He
mm-hmm.
does have a good beard. He really does look like an old-timey wrestler.
He does.
So, and then he sings, which it's the weirdest thing. I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be a heel, but and this is the same deal in NXT. He's a really good singer, so nobody can boo that. He is.
He's a decent singer.
He's
yeah.
a decent singer.
He's decent.
Nobody wants to boo that. It's like watching a kid at a talent show who actually has some talent. It's like, man, I can't really clown that because the kid just, you know, you don't know this yet. Once your kids get to talent show age, oh, man, it's the worst thing ever. You just want to clown everything you see. But then you see one kid up there, and they're playing some Led Zeppelin on their guitar. It's like, wow, that's pretty good.
Okay.
You know, you'll find out one day. It's hilarious. You see Aiden English up there. It's like a little kid in a talent show, but actually has some chops. I can't clown that. I'm actually kind of impressed. Sitting here for 2 hours, you got to be impressed by something.
So Aiden English took on Ty Dillinger.
Yeah.
Not much of a match.
Nope.
Ty won with a new version of the tiebreaker.
Yep.
Instead of dropping his opponent's neck on his knee, it's right on the face.
Mm-hmm.
I like this better.
Yeah, it's good.
Seems more destructive.
Sure.
Anyways, Aiden English is very upset with his loss.
Yes, he was.
He's basically having like an emotional breakdown in the ring.
Yes.
I mean, he is the drama king of WWE.
Well, he's the artist.
I mean, his Twitter handle is WWE Drama King.
At some point, are they going to battle for title of artist?
Top artist.
Top artist.
I think I know who the betting odds will favor in that match.
Betting odds are just out. Looks like Shinsuke's up big time.
Is a minus 50,000 to
yeah.
win that match.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyways, backstage, Y2J was giving an interview to, I believe, the interview bot. And,
no, it was Renee Young.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. She did her hair different again.
It's long now.
At first, I was like, who is that man?
No, it's Renee.
Yeah. I saw her face. I was like, oh, my gosh, Renee Young. Look at that.
And I think he called her Ronnie.
He did. It was funny. Aiden English was going by crying. This was the, every once in a while they do this. They give a backstage or they do like a thing where one of the participants is not supposed to talk. And it's always awkward because it's like, what do they do with themselves? Aiden English did a fantastic non-verbal communicative job with his body language, his face. Because Y2J, this was good, man. Y2J was at first trying to console the artist, Aiden English.
Yeah.
But then he immediately said, you're crying. There's no crying on SmackDown Live. You know what happens when you cry on SmackDown Live? And Aiden English did this really great, like, sad slash upset.
But he was like,
yeah.
No, don't do it, essentially. That's what he was saying.
Yeah, but he did not say it.
Didn't say a word.
He, like, if you think back, if you didn't really watch the segment, that you'd think the guy talked because he did such a good, great job emoting.
Of communicating.
Yeah, what he was doing. And so he was like, doing all that kind of stuff. I don't know. It was great. He went on the list.
So did Renee.
Then Renee Young went on the list, too. So.
Ronnie.
The final. I'm pretty sure those are the final list. The final people on the list.
For now.
When he comes back
in 2 or 3 months.
You think it's only going to be 2 or 3 months?
That's what I heard. It's only a matter of months.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a relatively short tour that Fozzy's on.
Wow, that's interesting.
I think it's just May and June. Maybe some in July. Then I guess it would depend if he's going to take time off just to rest up.
Yeah. Wow.
That I don't know, but I think it's just a matter of a few months.
Is he supposed to be back in time for SummerSlam?
That I don't know.
Huh. If he doesn't, it'd be great. I would just like him to just rest up.
Oh,
come,
I know.
Come back at the Rumble, Jericho.
Or Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah, Survivor Series. That's what I want you to come back for.
Hold on, let me see how long this tour. I mean, right
confirmed.
Now,
we're
right
confirming
now,
the tour
there's
dates.
There's only confirmed tour dates, I believe, till mid-June.
Judas Rising tour dates announced here.
Oh, June 24th.
June 24th.
So till the end of June.
All right. Well, maybe probably back in time for SummerSlam.
What if they have a show here in Sacramento? I don't think they do. In fact, I don't really see any West Coast dates.
Interesting.
So maybe they'll do more dates afterwards. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways. So then we get a Charlotte interview. And then the welcoming committee comes in and destroys Charlotte. They really like laid into her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this was the weird beatdown. Because they threw her into like a bunch of crates or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then like Natty like hit her on the arm. And then Carmella tried to hit her, and Charlotte like struck back. It was a very awkward beatdown. It was odd, but anyways, the point was there. And here's the thing: about this too. The beatdown was no more or less what Charlotte gets in the first 2 minutes of any given match. Anyways,
I thought that too was
strange. That was kind of my big thing.
She wasn't able to come out and participate at the beginning of the tag match
because
she was scheduled
to
be in. I know
because of what we just saw.
I know,
and that wasn't really that bad.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I thought the same exact thing.
Yeah.
So what was supposed to be a tag match with Naomi and Charlotte taking on Natalya and Carmella ended up being starting out as a handicap match.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi actually did, I thought it was pretty great. She was completely no-selling Carmella's kicks at the beginning of the match.
It was like Bruiser Brody Lex Luger, man.
Mm-hmm.
And Carmella was like, are you kidding me? In her high voice, squealy voice. And then she did the, what do you think about this thing.
Oh, that's great.
You think it's great?
Yeah, I love it.
I don't know, man. Kind of depends on how people sell it. I feel like half the people don't know really what to do when it's happening.
Well, I think part of it, like, I was watching Carmella.
I like it in theory.
She has she kind of kept her elbows real close to her body. I think that kind of takes on the impact.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. If people who sell it well, it makes it look pretty awesome.
Yeah.
In principle, I think it's cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who. I think Natalya sells it well. Somebody sells it really, really well, and a lot of other people kind of don't because they don't really know what to do.
Yeah,
because
you can't really.
I like it in theory. It's just it makes it look like unless you're really, really selling it, it makes it look like what it is, which is not a very effective kick, you know, maneuver.
Maybe it's supposed to be less physically painful and more just kind of embarrassing.
Okay, it could be that. Or it could just, like, you know, confuse you.
Yeah, something like that.
It's a mental thing. We'll have to ask.
I don't think Carmella.
If we see Naomi, what is the point of your kick thing?
I don't think Carmella was selling it afterwards like it really hurt her, right?
Yeah, I don't think anybody really.
It was just like, oh my gosh, that just happened to me.
This was overwhelming.
I couldn't do anything about
this
it.
This was overwhelming. Yeah. It was violating. Yeah. So, anyways, Charlotte ends up, her music hits.
About halfway through the match,
because Naomi's getting beat up on all sides. She stumbles to the ring. But then Carmella ends up winning with a roll up and a handful of tights.
I thought it was a really fun match. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I thought it told a really good story. Mm-hmm. It was fine. It was good. There was a brawl, and then Becky Lynch swerved the committee.
Becky Lynch comes out, and you know she takes a couple beats. She looks around the ring, goes up to Natalya, and goes, "Okay, I'm in."
Mm-hmm.
Shakes hands.
Mm-hmm.
Shakes hands of Natalya, of Carmella, of Tamina.
She did the NWO shirt.
No, nothing like that. Nothing. Well, that dramatic.
Hold on. No, you do that. You do this metaphorically speaking.
Oh, yeah.
She did the NWO shirt, yeah. But then she did the DDP thing where. The NWO shirt, or he took off the NWO shirt.
Yeah. Actually, you know, if you watched that segment where he put the NWO shirt on, he never took it off. He went in the crowd celebrating, giving Nash and
Paul
a diamond cutter, still with the NWO shirt on.
Wow. And then he joined the Wolfpack at the next house show.
Yeah.
The DDP joined the Wolfpack at every WCW house show.
But Becky Lynch gets to Ellsworth, and Ellsworth puts his hand out, and Becky goes, no.
Mm-hmm.
Offers a hug. Ellsworth goes in to hug her. She grabs Ellsworth and throws him into Tamina.
Yeah.
She swerved him.
Yeah.
So they all start fighting again.
Well done.
It was great.
Next,
we had Sin Cara versus Dolph.
What do you think of Sin Cara's new outfit? Come on, man. Be honest. You gotta throw some shit here.
I mean,
it seems
like it's a bit much.
Yeah, it made him look fat. It was not a good outfit.
Flattering?
Flattering, thank you. That's where I was looking for. Not flattering at all.
It's a bit much.
Look, man, I'm not saying that...
Even just like design-wise, aesthetically, yeah. It's a bit much.
Like if I saw him at the gym or here, I'd probably be like, that guy's in shape. But, you know, stacked up against all the other superstars,
yeah,
most of whom were in fantastic shape.
Yeah.
Especially against Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
That was not a flattering
outfit. I will say, though, this is like one of the better Sin Cara matches I've seen in a long time.
It was an ugly color, too.
He did like the suicide dive, really sharp, got some mm-hmm. good elevation. His lion salt was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did that one-armed power bomb on Dolph.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Maybe it's a different Sin Cara under there. Could be. You never know who's under the Sin Cara mask. What was it? Mystico?
Yeah.
Hunicore.
And now it's, what's his name? Jorge Arias?
Really? I think that's his name. Actually a third one now?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man. Great. It was actually Al Vagabundo.
Oh, it's still Hunico.
Oh, it's still Hunico. For now. For now.
Yes, for now.
For now.
For now. Yeah. So anyways, Dolph wins with a super kick. Fun match.
Well done, Dolph. Next up, we had the segment of the night. Easily segment of the night. Although I like the list of Jericho with Aiden English, too. That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
He said, you're crying, man. We had the Fashion Files with...
The Fashion Police.
I can't do it. My voice is not going
to... Fashion Police.
There you go. Thank you. I thought it was a fantastic segment. I like... It does absolutely appear that the Fashion Police are now being sort of mildly repackaged into a more serious actual title contenders. Like, we're supposed to take them as serious, violent, aggressive, new era of ruthless aggression for the Fashion Police.
I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
But it was still a really good segment.
Well, they're cops, man. Well, you saw them there at a...
Fashion cops. Did you see the printed out page with Shinsuke on it?
Yeah.
And they crossed out strong.
Yeah.
And underneath of it said no style.
No style. John Cena, whereabouts unknown. It showed the Shining Stars real estate fraud. There was like another one, and they had Vince's mugshot in the background.
Yeah.
It was great. They were listing off all the various crimes the Ugos, as they say, had committed.
Yep.
Jaywalking, well, and Jimmy walking. That's good. That's funny. How do you not love that? I you know, as my, I love Tyler Breeze. Fandango's so great.
Oh, Chet Chedderfield's the best.
He is
the best.
He is so good, man. You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of, you mentioned this name the other day, and he reminds me of Chris Pontius.
Yeah.
Like, if Chris Pontius was doing a skit, this is what it would be like.
Yeah.
And I always love it. He was like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I'm here to party. Anyways.
Tear the pants off.
Then we had our main event. Fantastic. Like, this was up there with the pay-per-view. This was a fantastic main event.
Told a great story. Jericho starts out the match working over Owens's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Tries to do the same spot he did at Payback, wedging his hand between the ring steps and the ring.
Right.
Owens pulls his hand out. They went back and forth. Good match. I like that they really tried to reestablish the Walls of Jericho as a legitimate finisher.
Yeah, no,
I like
too.
That because for so long, no one ever tapped out to it.
Yeah.
And there was, I think, two spots where Jericho had Owens in the Walls and managed to get out.
Mm-hmm.
The match eventually, again, I should say, got outside. Owens hit Jericho with a super kick and then took him over near the ramp and DDT'd him right on the edge of the ramp.
So yeah.
No padding.
That was the turning point of the match.
It was.
According to commentary.
And so Owens gets Jericho back in the ring, hits another super kick, goes for the pin. Jericho kicks out.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of back and forth, but it's pretty obvious that Jericho was just pretty much out on his feet.
Yeah.
And then Owens hits a pop-up powerbomb, gets the pin. And he takes his title, goes outside the ring. And it's kind of a cool moment because medical staff's attending to Jericho. And Owens is outside looking on. And he's kind of teasing some remorse. Mm-hmm. This guy used to be my friend. Maybe I took things a little too far.
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like Owens was selling.
Yeah.
So he gets in the ring and looks like, okay, maybe I'll go check on him. Nope. Another powerbomb.
Yeah. I like that he seems to battle remorse with violence.
I know. So again, Owens grabs his belt, exits. The medical staff helps Jericho out of the ring. Right as they're about to get to the ramp, Owens comes out again, reaches over the guardrail, grabs a chair, puts it around Jericho's neck, and then rams him into the ring post. Great.
Yeah, it was really good stuff.
It was fantastic.
He said, have fun on your tour.
You were never my best friend.
I'll see you later. We'll get drinks later.
Sort of like Braun and Reigns are hanging out in Rome today.
Oh, so was that picture from today?
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny. I know. I swear.
Just after we talked about that.
I know. Why does this shit keep on happening? They just keep on doing that. It's like, oh, hey, Roman, did you see that Steve said he doesn't want to see a picture of us hanging out? Let's go take a picture at the Parthenon or whatever.
Coliseum.
The Coliseum. There you go. All right, let's answer some questions.
Yes.
Number one jobber, Alex Ponce, asks, is there no hope for Aiden English?
Like I said earlier, he's not just jobbing. There's a character there they're doing something with. He had a backstage segment with Jericho. He got put in the list.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing something with him. He's on TV. He has a character. There's maybe a storyline in the works. So there's hope.
The question you do not want to ask is, what is his ceiling? Because our answer would be probably quite a bit more pessimistic.
Okay.
Let's see here. I'm not done with you, Eddie Menivar. You guys think WWE needs more moments like Chris Jericho winning the U.S. title on pay-per-view than losing it on SmackDown? He says he thinks they do. Anytime there's anything unpredictable happening, and anytime we can get a pay-per-view level match on regular TV.
Yes.
Is,
which we had
is
the last
good.
Two episodes for the main event with two pay-per-view level matches.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, yeah. So, yes.
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
He's going to puke, says, hey, Stephen Larson, book Baron Corbin's WWE Championship win, who he faces, which pay-per-view he wins, and then name someone who he can feud with as champion. He seems to be top heel on SmackDown. He seems to be, let's see, who he's feuding with
Sami
Zayn-ish. Although I was surprised he didn't show up.
Oh, during the match. After, oh, I think he got suspended.
The match. Oh, that's right. He was suspended for a week. That's right.
Talking
yeah.
smack because he pushed a ref.
Hey, you know what? I like that too. I like that segment.
I did too. His reaction to pushing the ref was great.
Yeah, I know. That was really well done.
I know.
So he feuds with Sami Zayn. I'm going to guess that this is going to be a case again of Sami looking good, but Sami putting over Baron Corbin.
This coming up a little bit short. Losing wrestler.
Jinder would seem to be a placeholder until they can get Baron in against Randy. That seems to be the case.
Yeah, that seems to be the trajectory.
Seems to be where we're heading.
Yeah.
Are we looking at that for SummerSlam?
Potentially, although I still feel like they probably want a money match. Orton, AJ, something like that.
They have so many other money players, though.
I understand, but SummerSlam, they're trying to position as on par with WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Just a summer version of it. I think that's kind of the strategy with all their major four pay-per-views because they're building entire weekend events around Mania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and the Rumble now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they want to jam the card with as many money matches as possible. So if it doesn't happen at SummerSlam, obviously, whoever wins the belt at SummerSlam, Corbin, assuming it's not another heel, Corbin's next in line, I feel like.
June is Money in the Bank.
Yeah, and he's I would say he's either one or two in terms of contenders to win it, assuming he's not in the main event for the belt already.
I could see, like, Corbin's shtick has been so money-related.
Yeah.
He seems like the obvious choice Money in the Bank at this point.
I know.
That contradicts what I said at the Internet Darlings thing, but I don't care. So, yeah, I could see him winning Money in the Bank. I could even see him maybe cashing in at SummerSlam.
Entirely possible.
Wouldn't it be horrible if he cashed in at the end of Money in the Bank and then lost it at SummerSlam to Orton?
Mm-hmm. Or AJ or something like that?
I'd be fine with AJ.
Just not Orton. No, I think once Orton loses that belt, he's done with it for a while.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Because there's so much talent on SmackDown now.
I know.
That once Orton drops that belt, he's going to kind of fall back towards the
all right, middle of the card. Answer the question, though. Which pay-per-view does he win the belt, and who does he immediately feud with as champion? I say Survivor Series AJ Styles.
Okay. That sounds good. Somewhere in the fall.
Makes sense. Or, hey, you know what? Survivor Series Shinsuke.
Oh, you think he cashes in on Shinsuke?
No, I'm saying he wins it at Survivor Series from whomever might be champion at the time.
Okay.
I'd be hard-pressed to believe that Orton would be champion.
No.
Through Survivor Series past SummerSlam.
He's not holding that belt past SummerSlam.
Yeah, I don't think so. Let's see here.
Going in Raw HR department. Oh, I skipped that one. Referring to Cena's past personalized belts, who is the first superstar that will get his own personalized belt? Maybe Ty taking the U.S. or Intercontinental title and putting tons of tens on it. Shinsuke, maybe. But I don't think they're going to do it, though. Their strategy in terms of belt seems to be uniformity.
They make a huge deal of this out of the side plates these days.
Yes, that's the customization.
They always do like a custom video where they're talking about it and they show it.
Yeah.
With Naomi, they have like the glow-in-the-dark ones.
Yeah, her side plates are great.
I know, it sucks. I wish the entire belt was glow-in-the-dark. That'd be rad. Put some LEDs in that thing.
Or at least a strap.
I love the custom belts.
I mean, I like them too, yeah.
It was like, for how cheesy some of them looked, it added so much character to the entire, to the product. I liked it. But you're right, it's all about uniformity. Let's see here. Chris Kimmel, I like this question. Do you think there's ever a chance we'll get to see Becky Lynch versus Ellsworth? He brings up a good point with Ellsworth. The whole, like, calling him a girl thing and booking him as weak as they book him. You could possibly potentially have an intergender thing going there.
I think Becky has said in interviews that she wants to do that match.
Really?
I think
really?
So, yeah. I think so.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's great.
So she wants to do it.
Yeah. I really wonder if that's a line they just simply wouldn't cross, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
And that wouldn't surprise me if it was the case.
Yeah.
But then also wouldn't surprise me if they pulled the trigger on it. Let's see here.
Apparently Ellsworth is down for the match. And Becky Lynch wants to do the match.
All matters with the game ones.
Mm-hmm.
Vince would probably be down for the match, but Triple H might be like, I don't know, Dad. The Down Undertaker. That's good. The Down Undertaker. Zach Parks. Good day, friendos.
Hi.
After the first amazing episode of Law & Order Fashion Police, what more would you guys like to see Breezango do in this series? He says, personally, he thinks they should go after Mojo for his horrible ring attire.
Good point.
Yeah, I'd like to see them on the scene of a crime that isn't, like, in the arena. You know,
yeah.
I want them investigating these alleged crimes against the Ugos. That's what I want to see.
Yes.
I want more.
In the field.
In the field, exactly.
Doing true detective work.
You know, it'd be great.
I accidentally said true detective there.
That's good. I like that. I want to see them in a car, like, staking out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just a street. Mm-hmm. And then, like, they can blur out people's faces, and it's just them improvising on people's dress attire.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be good.
That would be good. Manuel Garcia de
Paredes, man.
Yeah, you do that better than I do.
Listen, man.
Hey, friendos, what do you think about the fashion files? Fashion files, do you think this could be what gets Fashion Police over? I really liked it a lot and found it very entertaining.
Look, man, if they're not over already, then Fashion Files is only going to not, like, either you're on board with this and you've been on board with this.
That segment's not going to change your mind.
That's not going to change anybody's mind.
It's
exactly.
It's going to
preach to the choir and add fuel to the fire.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But it was great. All right. How about this?
Yeah.
Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster.
Fat Bastard Champ.
Needless to say, the Fashion Files were amazing. If Breezango started a precinct, What other wrestlers should cameo?
Mojo. Mojo as a cop would be amazing.
Yeah.
Mojo as a cop would be great. I'd like to see them haul in Jinder. I'd like to see them haul in the Bollywood boys, because you're not supposed to combine red and pink, I think. I think it's like a thing you're not supposed to do unless it's like Valentine's Day.
Well, they weren't individually combining it. One had a red shirt, the other one had a
pink shirt. They're a package deal, man.
No, it's fine.
They're a package deal. It's not fine.
Who else?
Then you should agree before you come out as to how many buttons you're going to button. Surely you can agree with me on that one.
Well, I mean, depends on the... I mean, if down the line we learn that the one who... if they're different characters, it would make sense. And if it would make sense for one to have their shirt buttoned up all the way and one have, you know, halfway unbuttoned, I'm totally fine with it.
All right. Let's see here. Scott Steiner's math student, Leland Thompson.
Oh, how about this? Sami Zayn.
Really?
He could either be a cop or the fashion police and give him a ticket.
I really like his fashion sense. I think he looks great.
Oh, I don't have a problem with it either. I'm just saying I could see how they would have a problem with it.
Mm. I like you. So what you're saying, you just want to see them sort of rag on
Ska
music.
Them, I want to see them interact with Sami Zayn.
Oh, okay.
That's what I want to see.
Who doesn't want to see that? Leyland Thompson says, is it Leyland? It looks like Leyland Thompson. Enjoyed my first live stream yesterday, and I look forward to many more. My question for today is, since Jericho technically won at Payback, technically, he did win at Payback.
Yeah, he did.
And was now part of SmackDown's roster. When he returns after his tour, do you think he's going to show up on Tuesdays for Revenge on KO? Or did they make it clear it's going back to... I'm pretty sure he's on SmackDown.
Yeah, he's on SmackDown.
Yeah, he's on SmackDown.
He's on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And he's going to be gone for a little while. Kevin, the eater of pizza. Looks like WWE already scrapped the artist gimmick / title from Nakamura. I don't think so. They referred to him as the artist.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did. Although I was happy there was one very brief shot of somebody wearing a Strong Style shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's never like on accident. So I'm like, okay, I really hope they still refer to him at least in some areas like that. Anyways,
what's the next gimmick that needs to go before it buries someone else? He brings up Lana's gimmick as well as Aiden English's crying poet.
That Lana, like, I'm withholding judgment until I see Lana in the ring and see how they actually utilize her as a performer.
Yes.
I don't like those video packages though. You know what bugs me about it? The thing that really bugs me about it? The letterbox, something that's so obviously video.
You know what bothers me? Is that it was obviously just shot in the ramp before the show started.
Yeah, no, yeah.
That bothers
that,
me.
The combo of those two things.
Yeah.
But it would be lessened for me a little bit if they took off the letterboxing.
Yeah.
Because there's no need a letterbox.
Well, it doesn't make it look more cinematic.
It doesn't make it more, like, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes it look like one of our AR movies. here we go. First time patron. This is from, oh my goodness, this is a long name. Nemo, the Universal Kidney Punching Champion. On the 30th, I'll be going to my first big show.
Well.
Let's see here. Ticket says 7:45. What time should he actually arrive?
Wait, sorry?
He says the ticket says 7:45.
Oh.
He's getting advice from us on live stuff. Ticket says 7:45.
Go to the arena's website. Find out what time doors open.
Yeah.
Usually for 4:30. Usually open about an hour to an hour and a half before the show starts.
I'll say this.
And so if you get there like 15 to 30 minutes after doors open, so you have to wait in line.
Mm-hmm.
It will be much busier in the concourse. Mm-hmm. But unless you get there at like noon or first in line, it's gonna be busy regardless. They usually have merch outside of the arena. So if you want to get there early to buy merch, you can do that outside. Yeah, that way you have time if you want to roam around, get some food, or to settle in your seat and hang out.
He says, with the way they've been booking Shinsuke Nakamura, what are the odds I'll actually get to see him, let alone see him wrestle?
The 30th of this month? I don't know if he's been doing house shows.
When is Backlash? You said Backlash.
21st.
The 21st? Oh, yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah. I assume they're going to have them in action.
Second one overall. First one was a house show. I'm assuming that this is getting like...
Oh, that's a SmackDown, yeah. It's
SmackDown Live, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be good. You'll see him.
Yes. I had one picked out. Oh, Triple H finds it funny. Based on comparisons you made to Luke Harper's new attire looking like a hippie, he got me thinking he'd make an excellent dude love.
No, man, dude Harper.
So my question is, if you could give each face of Foley to superstars on the main roster, who would they be?
Good question.
He says he'd give Bray Wyatt the Mankind gimmick.
That seems, yeah, that seems pretty astute.
And then Dean Ambrose could be Cactus Jack.
Bang, bang, man. Bang, bang, man.
No, Mankind used to pull his hair out.
Yeah, man.
He didn't do bang, bang. That was Cactus Jack.
Who am I thinking of? Cactus Jack. Bang, bang, man. Wait, he's going to give, oh, Bray Wyatt Mankind? Okay. Yeah, all right.
Dean Ambrose could be Cactus Jack.
Dean Ambrose, yeah. Cactus Jack. Bang, bang, man. And then Dude Love to, he's going to give, who did you give Dude Love to? Give Dude Love to Mojo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mojo. Mojo.
All right. Marcius Mark. In honor of the new pay-per-view, book a Great Balls of Fire match. What's the gimmick and who's in it? This is a Raw pay-per-view.
It'd be,
I assume fire would have to be involved.
Yeah, right. It'd be like the Inferno match, right? Where like the ring is laden with fire.
Yeah.
Surrounded by fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's an option. Bray versus Finn.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to see him get caught on fire, though.
Where's that fire? Where's the fire involved?
Well, is it not an Inferno match?
How about this? A Hulk Hogan photographer's light bulb match. Remember, didn't he get hit in the face? Like, Hulk Hogan had a fascination with people getting hit in the face with fire.
Mm-hmm.
There was the light bulb from the photographer.
Yeah, there was the Hogan Warrior rematch in WCW.
Wasn't there another time when
there was
a
like
fire
spot went awry?
Yeah. I thought there wasn't there another Probably. Fire spot? And I think that went awry, too. Fire spots never work. Why was he trying that?
No.
Did he even practice beforehand?
Mm-mm.
No, he didn't. You sure about that?
I'm just guessing.
It's Hogan.
It's unconfirmed, though.
Hogan seemed like the kind of guy who's like, practice. Am I practicing, brother? Anyways, are you about ready to do trivia?
Let's do one more question.
Uno más?
One more.
Okay. Well, let's do two more because I echo this sentiment. Nate Morris, I've come to feel that Alexa Bliss cuts a better heel promo than Charlotte.
Oh, yeah.
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 Alexa Bliss cuts a better heel promo. Full stop. Kevin Owens.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Owens.
Who's a better? Who's a good heel guy? Kevin Owens. That one time Jinder did one.
Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe cuts a great heel promo.
Samoa Joe just cuts amazing promos. I don't even care what he's saying. I just want to hear him talk.
Those I know. Words. The timbre so of his voice is spectacular.
Like, sometimes I listen to him, I'm like, I don't care he's saying rude things. I just want to hear. Like, if there was a church that he was the lead guy at,
I know.
I would go to said church. I don't care what the religion is. Just preach to me Samoa Joe.
He's got a great voice.
He's got a fantastic... Well, it's not just his voice. It's his verbosity.
It's his eloquence. He's very eloquent.
It's the words that he used too, man.
Yeah, no, I know.
He uses amazing words.
He does. Chalupa Batman.
That's probably great at Scrabble.
He probably is. Words with Friends. He's probably really good at that too.
Chris, he sits there on his toilet doing this. Like you do.
Actually, I don't play Words with Friends anymore.
No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding. Chris Jericho seems to reinvent himself every time he goes away and comes back. With that,
truth.
With that being said, what gimmick would you guys give him when he returns from his latest Fozzy tour? Depends how long he's gone. If he's only gone a couple months, he'll come back in his current incarnation.
Keep on doing the list stuff. Yeah, yeah. You're right. If he's gone a year, he's going to come back. Because he's right. He loves reinventing himself. You know, now that Fozzy is... Everybody knows... That he tours with Fozzy.
Yeah.
I would give him like a true rock and roll gimmick.
I had thought that too.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Is there a tweak that can be done with it so it's not like...
terrible?
Yeah.
I'm sure Jericho could figure that out. But I would want him to incorporate that stuff. And yeah. He could do it effectively. He knows what he's doing. Anyways, let's play trivia. I got to find the trivia game.
I think it's... Well, it was under the couch.
Probably is again. All right, Larson, it's time for trivia.
Yeah. Who wants
time
to ask first?
Today we're answering Classic and Attitude Era.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
Classic Era, so we're talking about Hackenschmidt, Gotch.
Well, this is
Farmer Burns.
This is classic WWE.
We got to study up on our Farmer Burns, man.
We do.
Can we start up a wrestling trivia game about Farmer Burns? Larson?
Sure.
You want to go first?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if we've had this card before.
Oh, good point.
We haven't had this one. Whatever. We'll start with classic.
You're gonna miss one of these, but you think you're gonna be good.
What new WWE superstar served as a special guest referee when Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior faced the Triangle of Terror at SummerSlam 1991?
What?
What new WWE superstar served as special guest referee when Hogan and Warrior faced the Triangle of Terror at SummerSlam 91?
What new WWE superstar?
New.
Man. It's one of two. SummerSlam 91?
Yep.
SummerSlam 91. Mr. Perfect.
Sid Justice.
Stupid. Did you know that one?
No.
Okay.
This card's actually pretty tough.
Put a finger up.
No, ask the question. You never know.
Just put a finger
up. Ask the question.
Who did Macho Man marry?
Oh, Miss Elizabeth.
There you go.
What former Olympian beat Pat Patterson in April 1980, becoming the second Intercontinental Champion in WWE history?
Bob Backlund.
Ken Patera.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yep.
Ken Patera.
You're like, Bob Backlund, finger up.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Put a finger up.
Ask the question.
Put a finger up. What woman held the WWE Women's Championship from 1956 to 1983?
Yeah, fabulous.
She
Moolah.
She owned the damn title.
Moolah. Who teamed with Nikolai Volkoff to form the Bolsheviks tag team?
Alexis Derevko keeps on coming to my mind, but I know it's not Alexis Derevko because we know him. Ivan Putski.
Boris Zukov.
Oh, okay. What was the name of the tag team formed by the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, and Irwin R. Scheister?
Oh, that was... It was Money, Inc., right?
Very good. Man, you're blowing me out of the water.
What tag team won the first ever TLC match in 2000, repeated the feat in the second TLC match at WrestleMania 17?
That was a... 50-50 choice with me, man. Come on. It's Edge and Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There you go. You're on the board.
What duo briefly replaced the Raw announce team of Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler by beating them in a match at Unforgiven 2003?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, don't put a finger up for this one.
2003?
2003 Unforgiven. They beat JR and Lawler and replaced them.
On Raw?
At commentary.
Or just period.
Raw announced team, because it was still split at the time.
Taz and Michael Cole.
Al Snow and Jonathan Coachman.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't going to get that. Who did fans choose as Chris Jericho's opponent in the match for the Intercontinental Championship at Taboo Tuesday 2004?
2004. I'll say China.
Shelton Benjamin.
Oh. Who won the World Heavyweight Championship at SummerSlam 2004, becoming the youngest man ever to hold the title?
Randy Orton.
Very good.
Hold the finger up. What superstar called himself the Legend Killer?
The man you just said, Randy
yep.
Orton. Very good. I got two.
Do I have one more? Or is that it? Oh, well. I had one more. I thought I asked first.
Oh, you do. Who was the two-man power trip?
Oh, Stone Cold and Triple H.
Very good.
Five.
Wow. I get three cards.
You have three cards. Cards are over there.
Oh, yeah.
Pick three of them. Ken Patera. I get Ken Patera. You get Elizabeth.
You were so confident with your Backlund answer, too.
Figures
Let's see what I got.
What's that?
Booker T.
Oh, nice. You can't go wrong with Booker T.
Matt Hardy, V1.
Uh-oh.
These are some good cards.
Yeah.
Goldberg.
You can't beat Goldberg.
Wow, those are awesome cards.
Those are great cards.
Huge, huge win today for Larson.
Big win for you today. You're up a lot. All right. So, that is it. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.